Hello, I'm Kev Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
I got up early this morning and went to the plant. I was going up, pulled out on Volunteer Parkway up here to Bristol Highway up here, Bowman Ford Road. There for a minute, I thought, what's all the traffic? Man, I've never seen this bad. Yesterday was the big event, you know. But you know one thing? There's a lot of people waking up this morning. That event's over. It's past. 2,000 years from now, nobody's going to remember that. But over 2,000 years ago, there was an event that actually happened. And a man laid down his life so that we can break free from the chains of sin, so that we can have eternal life. Over 2,000 years ago, he changed lives. He came, walked on this earth, and he changed lives. And today, he's still changing lives. And people are still talking about that. There's still revivals going on. God's still performing miracles. People are still being saved. Thank God. I stand here this morning and say, my change is gone. Pray for the choir for sins.
The Lord has promised good.
what many of us in the choir said, just spread out. It'll look like there's more of
them.
Let's stand and sing. What a great song to sing after that. Blessed be the name. Stand and sing. These 206 and work found the street.
Thank you.
pour out the rose called in glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get to side of the key that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away, and I'll get carried away. Well, I don't know why, but I come a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people, and I can't figure out why I never make shout about the love that floods my soul. Well, I must confess, I can't express the feelings deep inside me, the things I know that I cannot show. Overflow. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the road is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I pass the clouds. Shout as it sounds like thunder, and my tearful eyes may fill the sky until it looks like rain. As I leave this world, as the gates of world stand before the Savior, I lift my soul and let the glory roll in the room because my name.
Said, Pastor, do I have permission to enter your court? Well, Brother Tim, you've invited me, and I guess I'll work that way. Thank you for doing that. We're honored. You have your Bible this morning. I want you to turn with me to that of the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, I want you to turn to Genesis 0-0. You say, well, pretty good, that's not in the Bible. Well, have you ever considered what it would be like if Genesis 0-0 was in the Bible? So we're looking at this morning, and we can't find it, just go to the next verse, and in Genesis, the first chapter, verse number 1, and it says, and God did what? God created the heavens and the earth. And so when we're talking about everything that's been going on, God's not a prisoner to time. God's not a prisoner to space. God has been always. No beginning, there'll be no end. So when we think about when this world came to be in, God was. God was here. We're going to find out that the Trinity of God was also in heaven before there was ever a world.
Amen.
And so this is what we're looking at this morning. And so the scripture makes mention here, God. And I think it's that we can say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're seeing. Now there's 40-some verses of scripture in God's Word where it says that there's one God. I believe there's one God. You say, pretty much, you just named three. I did, but yet there's one God. And so when we think about that beautiful song that we're talking about, when God came to the world, He didn't come in. He came in the form of a human being. He came in, and that was the Son of God that came to die for your sins and for mine. Yeah. Now, this was in God's plan before there was ever a world. Yeah. Think about that for a moment. God had a plan for you and for me before there was ever a world.
Amen.
So let's look at this morning.
Amen.
Finally, we can clearly see that God existed before he took his power, and before he took his wisdom, and before he created everything that he did. I like to look at things today. People say about the different ages and all that. That don't bother me. If God can make something look like he's made out of Adam, just like a snap of a finger, or that of a woman, if he could God do that, God can put an age like effect on everything on the earth, on the earth. But we don't know the difference. Now, there's a big gap theory that people say between Genesis and Genesis 1. How long that happened, I don't know. I can accept the fact that God was in the beginning. Now, people say there was a great bang. Well, if it was a great bang, it was God said he lit the torch. He lit the torch. It was God that lit it. But can you imagine how the universe today is, how it's designed? And then we just found out there's a Pluto out there that took some 9 years to travel going to that place. Bless God. I tell you, folks, that's amazing. Now, how can all of these things be that way? How can all these things function by a big bang? Right. I can't buy it. I think it takes 4 more feet to believe that, just to believe that God made that way. All right. So not only that, we find Jesus Christ also existed before there was a foundation of the world. Now he is the first, he is the second person of that of the Trinity. Look at John 1:1-3 with us this morning. I love this verse of scripture. It says, in the beginning was the Word. We can translate that in the beginning was Jesus. That's what it really is. Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Think about that. And Paul affirms this in the book of Colossians, in verses 1, chapter 1, 16 and 17, it says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is above all things, and in him all things hold together. And so the Bible does not give us a whole lot of scriptures and things pertaining to what happened before Genesis 1:1. But we see here in the scripture that look what Jesus had to say about that. Jesus said in John 17:24, that's his priestly prayer. And here Jesus is saying this. Mouth dried him. Is it red? He's peanut butter. John 17:24. Here it says, Father, I desire that they, that would be you and I, that they also whom you have bought, given me before, may be with me, for I am. So where God's at, Jesus is at, and you and I are in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You talk about wanting to go to glory, wanting to go to heaven. I'm there even now. I was there then. And so the Bible says here, and it says, for I am to see my glory that you've given me because you loved me. Now notice what the next words are. Before there was what?
Foundation.
Come on, wake up. Before there was a foundation of the world. So love existed between God the Father, God the Son, before there was anything that was made that was ever created. Now there's another place. You think, well, in reality, the journey for that of the Savior coming into the world, beloved, it didn't really start in Bethlehem. We find it started way back in that of the council hall of Adam and with that of God. So God was in perfect harmony without his Son, without the Holy Spirit, and when they decided, when they determined that the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit would come, when Christ went back to the Father, the Spirit came And so here we find it, the first mention of the Spirit in that of the creation God was in Genesis 1-2. It talks about the Spirit. It's really the breath of God. The Spirit of God hovered over the water. And so we see that, we find this was before what? This was before there was anything created. Now, when there was no world, when there was no creation, when Genesis 0-0, God was. When he determined to do this, he had our names written down in that of this time past, way back before we were ever coming to the world. You say, Richard, I can't accept it. I can't believe it. Well, bless God, you just got to listen to the word.
Amen.
And
right.
He said, I'm a citizen of heaven as if I were already there. And so the scripture makes mention. Look at the book of Ephesians 1:4, and he'll answer that question for you. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, even as the God chose us in him, God has chosen us in him. God, when before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's God.
Amen.
Now,
right.
God chose those who would believe in him before there was a creation of the world. Now, beloved, that, you said, pretty well, that's predestination. Well, bless God. Just look at it the way it is. Right. God had already determined. God had already made plans for you, but yet we're not that irresistible grace. We don't teach that doctrine. We believe, beloved, that you have to make a decision yourself to that of whether you want to be saved or not.
Right.
And so, but God has made mention. Over in the Revelation, it talks about the books are opened up. I believe there's a book of life. I believe that every person born into this world has a name written down. Until that name has that transferred over to the Lamb's book of life, that's one day when God's going to say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And so I'm a steward of heaven, as I were already there. Look at Ephesians, where it says, even the God that chose him before that's a creation. It's amazing to think that God thought about me, if God thought about you before he ever made anything. Now, if that don't blow your mind, your water chocolate is running out or something. and so in Titus 1:2, it talks about the hope of eternal life. It says there, in that verse of scripture, it says the hope of eternal life with God that cannot what? Lie. And you know, it's a lot of things God can't do. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, God can't save you unless you want to be saved. God can't come up with a better plan than he's already produced. So God answers something God doesn't do and doesn't want to do. And so it's clear here, the promise before the world began, and so that's what we're seeing here. While there's little known about God's work before creation, it's clear that God was active. It's clear that God was loving with that of his Son and the Holy Spirit. And in love as a Father and as a Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Genesis 0-0, you see what just transpired. A lot of things have taken place. In Matthew the 13th chapter, in verse number 35. In that particular chapter, Matthew 13, there are seven mysteries in that chapter. One of them is the mystery of the sword. Well, we can find out the sword is that of the Lord God. We find that the seed is a good seed that ends up in the person's heart. And then we see that there's the mystery of the tares and the wheat. Well, that's really the judgment, you know. Well, these days God's going to separate the wheat from that of the tares. And so that's what he's talking about. It talks about the hidden peril. It talks about the leaven. And one of the last ones, it talks about the dragnet. You see, well, you know what the church is today? You're a dragnet. You're a dragnet. You say you don't go fishing. Well, that's God we're supposed to be. And we're throwing out that dragnet. And that's what we're trying to do. We're throwing out the dragnet and bringing people into that of the Lord. And so this verse tells us that there are some things that have been kept secret from that of the foundation of the world. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he revealed a lot of these secrets. We find that the Apostle Paul, he was given some of the secrets to those revelations that were hidden before there was ever that of a world. And so we see this, and so this scripture in Romans 16:25, in that passage of scripture says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So you see, the Bible talks about that Jesus has revealed a lot of things to us. Jesus has revealed things. Paul has revealed things. The other prophets, all the apostles, they revealed some of those secrets that God had kept hidden before there was ever that of a world. I like this, of course, Paul was talking here to the church of Colossae. And he said, which he talked about the dispensation of grace and dispensation of time. He said, God, which is given to me for you. God has given that to me for you. And so this is whom he's speaking to. And so you see, Genesis 0:0, there was a lot of things that were taking place and are continuing to take place. And all those verses plus that above. And so know these mysteries and be blessed with them. Know the mysteries and be blessed. And I like this verse of scripture here. And it says, some call the gap theory the Big Bang. Well, it was a Big Bang. If it was a Big Bang, God was going to put it in motion. And so here's something I think it takes more to believe that theory than to believe that God spoke it into being. And so this morning, let me give you four things, four mysteries, or four things that happened before there was ever a world. Look with me, first of all, turn in your Bible to 1 Peter 1 and 1 through 18 to 20. So here's the first thing. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Now this is the passage of scripture here where Peter talking to him, he's telling about you're not saved with corruptible things. You're not saved with that of gold and silver. You're not saved because your family or your brother or your father was a Christian. You're not saved because of that type of a relationship, but you've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's how you are born into the family of God.
Yes,
and so
amen.
This is what God has given to us this morning. And so before there was ever a sinner, God had made a provision of Satan from out of the world. So we think about a lamb was spoken of in the Bible. The first mention of a virgin birth, the first mention of that of what Christ would come into the world, is what Christ, God is saying through that of Genesis 3 and verse number 15. It says, and I'll put enmity between thee and her seed, your seed. And that's a mention, beloved, of that of the woman that would come with a virgin birth and be born into the world. And it says, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. Well, old Satan, he accomplished that at Calvary. He had Christ crucified by that of the leaders and the people that did all of this. But yet, bless God, there's a second coming, and that's when he's going to bruise the devil's heel.
All right.
Here's the devil. And so when Jesus was born into the world, it had to be mentioned here. And God, this plan of God, he revealed the plan of redemption for that of sinners. Genesis 3 and verse number 15. So a lamb was shed. That's what we read about. We think about the virgin birth. We think about that when God was incarnate, when he came into the world as a human being. And that, the Bible makes mention, you know, when John the Baptist was 6 months older than that of Jesus, when John the Baptist was out there baptizing in the River Jordan, and one of those days those people were flocking out of the cities to come to hear John, and they were repenting, and they were being baptized for repentance. And then they see Jesus coming, and John the Baptist has probably never laid eyes on him, but he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So when Jesus was born into the world, a little more of God's eternal plan, it became visible. The road to that of skull heel, or in that of the Arabic language, Golgotha, or to that of the Calvary, in that of Latin. Before God ever, when this was all happening, God's plan began to be revealed. It became visible of what God wanted to do. And so, I said a while ago, it didn't begin in Bethlehem, beloved. It began in heaven with that of the Son of God, who didn't think himself to be equal with God, and yet he was willing to abandon that, and he was willing to be come into the world and to die and to pay for your redemption and mine. and so beloved. I like to think about what type of God just had a big old mixing bowl, as he was just putting these things together. And so when he came to making me and you, he had to put it on full blend. He had to spin it up a little bit. And what God's word is masterpiece. God had a masterpiece. Now you see, he created everything. Then when he created man, he said it was not good for him to be alone. And he gave man that knowledge to name all of those animals. And so here we find that when God had done this, and God was making provision for that of the world. Why do we have an earth today? I believe we have an earth. I don't believe there's man running around on any other planet. I believe because God talked about it being his footstool. I don't believe, beloved, that Pluto that we have mentioned a moment ago, and it's got all life. You can survive there. We're here on the earth. We got enough life to live by. We got enough oxygen to live by. We don't have freeze to death because it's not cold all the time. We don't burn up. We're just at the right position where God has put it. And I think he did that for as our favor. And so the foreigner, the sinner, beloved, there was a Savior. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Now you see, God has his attributes of God. We think about it that he's all knowledgeable. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And then he's everywhere. He's everywhere. And you know, the scripture talks about, if I ascend up and get out of the heavens, he's there. Did we take him there? No, God was there. If we ascend down into the deeps of the depths of the world, did we take him there? No, God was. You can't get away from it. And so these are the things that we think about. The Bible makes sense. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and what? And all power in heaven and earth. Now, when I pause, first, folks, that's for you to say something, all right? And so the Bible makes mention of that. And talk about Psalm 62:11, talk about the power belongeth to God. The power belongeth to God. And so, and where we are looking at the Bible here, it's interesting to me how that God is everywhere. You can't get away from it, you can't hide from it. Anywhere you go, you can't get in a dark room. You can't go far away. You can't go like we talked about last Sunday night. Jonah tried to get away from God. He couldn't get away from God. When he was in the belly of that whale, God still was after him. And I believe that he prayed like a man in torment prayed in the parable, or that of the story of the rich man and the ruler. And so we see some things here that I hope that you can take home with you and let it ponder over you a little bit. And so it talks about the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Just think about it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. You can't do something secretly. You might think you're getting away, but who's looking? God's looking. And so another attribute about God, God's holy. God said, if God's holy, I want you to be what? I want you to be holy. Another thing about God is just. He shows no partiality to anybody. God loves those Muslims today as much as he loves America. God loves them as much as them. He died for them. And beloved, this is something that God had a love, and he demonstrated. I talk about God's love. Friends, John 3:16 has to be one of the greatest verses pertaining to the love that God had for that of the world. Now God, the Bible says this, beloved, God was incarnate. Now we talk about God the Father, God the Son. Now he could have given an acre of talent, he could give her a mind full of gold, but God gave himself. That's what it, when we think about Jesus, when he was born, that was God himself that came to show his love for you and for me.
Amen.
And so God is true. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And God forbid, the Bible makes it, let God be true, but never men a liar. God is free. So we see that a lamb was spoken of. We see that a lamb was sent. And so then we see that a lamb was slain. So when the lamb was slain at Calvary, you see the plan of God, it was being accomplished, and it was in full view of the human race. Now, well, here's the second thing. Before there was guilt, there was grace. Before there was guilt, there was grace. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There are all these different places, but we're talking about before the world ever began. And what is grace? I believe my Sunday school teacher made mention of this morning, the unmerited love of God. Now, I have an acronym for it, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So before there was guilt, there was grace. And it cost God what? Of God His Son. And so here we find, before man ever sinned, there was grace. Well, that would make you think of Romans 3:23, you know, we talked about that. For God, for we all fall. Everybody sins and comes short of the glory of God. And the Bible makes mention in Isaiah 59:2, for our sins have caused us to be separated from that of God. You can't deal with God. God's not going to hear. God's not going to answer until the sin question are taken care of. And so that's we're talking about, really, you don't get the prayers answered if there's unconfessed sin. And so it is grace that does what? It's grace that saves you. I like what Paul wrote in Ephesians. He said, for by grace are you what? You're saved. And it says, not a word, lest any man should what? Boast. And listen, if I could get to heaven because I worked on this point, I'd be talking about all over the place, boasting and proud, being boastful about what I have done. Well, beloved, you can't do that. It's only by God's grace. Only by God's grace. I like it. God's grace is sufficient for all men. It's sufficient for everyone. Moreover, the law entered, the offense might abound, but for sin abounded, the grace of God abounded for me. That's what Paul was, when they were questioning Paul, why can't we just sin? Why can't we just sin and be forgiven? If God, if the hope, if the strength, so much about it. And then Paul said, God forbid if you die to sin. God forbid if you die to sin. Now, before there was guilt, there was grace. Before there was a man ever strayed, beloved, we all like sheep have done what? Everybody, we're compared to a sheep. And it says, every sheep, we've all gone astray. We wandered from the path, and we've had to have a shepherd to seek us and to bring us back on the fold. And so, beloved, when that iniquity was on us, God made a plan for grace to bring us home. God made a plan. And so, before man ever sinned, there was something to make him clean. I like what the scripture said. The Bible makes mention in the epistle of Peter that God, the Holy Spirit, can clean you from all sin. And so, before man was ever separated, God had grace to reconcile him to God. And so, it is grace that's sufficient. Here's the third thing. The third point, before there was punishment of death, there was the promise of life. Before there was the punishment of death, there was the promise of life. I read long ago, Titus 1:2, and hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Who? To those who would come to Christ. John 6:37. Listen, all that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, you see, beloved, God's in the plan. God knows. And so today, God were to speak to your heart. God started speaking that. God started making provision a long time ago. And you just must be that person that would make the decision. And so, these are something that those who come to Christ. And so, Revelation 22:17, that's the last, and that is the last invitation in the Bible. In fact, I think God will say to that of the, that of God, he said, before we close this book, let's put one more time, let's give them an invitation. I like that in the Revelation 22:17, where it says, and the Bible said, and talks about the Spirit says what? The Spirit says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is a third come. And whosoever will, let him take up the water of life freely. In fact, years ago when I was carrying the mail, I was a Bible pastor. And I had an Andrew Rogers tape. And I had me a tape recorder, and I put that on in my cap of my vehicle, and I'd play that thing all day long. All day long, I'd hear those things. You could make about three sermons out of what he would make out of one. And so, but yet there was a favorite word he'd always say. He always say at the end, unto Jesus, unto Jesus. Now he's gone to be with the Lord, but somebody sent me something this week about something about Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers been dead for a year, three or 4 years. But listen, he's working, he'll know God. And so, whosoever, the Bible says, those that will confess Christ. Those that will confess Christ. We who have that faith program and the lay witnesses and all these other programs that we have, we memorize John 10. The Bible says that man will confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that God raised him from that God has raised him from the dead. The scripture says, "Thou shalt be saved." For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, you believe in your, you have to believe in your heart. There's a lot of folks that got a lot of head knowledge. They're believing it up here, but you got to take it from up here, and you got to bring it down to that of your heart, to that of the being of the individual of whom you are. You got to believe it and confess that God, the Lord, He died, He was buried, He arose, and thank God for that. And so, whosoever will confess him before men, God says, I will confess him before my Father. That's in the back of the back of the book. Get a little some water. The words don't come out now, folks. Matthew 10, 33. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. What does that mean, folks? Does that mean just come down and stand before church and say you want to be saved and go through the motions and go through baptism? I believe, beloved, it means in your everyday life that you have to confess Christ as your Savior. You have to speak up when you have an opportunity to speak for Him. And that is the part He said. If you're going to be ashamed to confess me before men, He said, then I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And beloved, you need the Lord to stand by you. And so I think if you are really born again, saved by the saving power of the blood of God, you're not going to deny the Lord. If you do, something's wrong. You are a terrible backslider if you deny that of the Lord. And here in the book of Philippians, it talks about that every knee and every eye, whatever needs will bow one day and confess to the Lord. Now, beloved, today, people may not bow to Him as Savior, but one of these days, they'll bow to Him as judge.
Amen.
Right. See, the judge is going to judge you. Because Jesus is going to say, I don't find your name written here. Depart from me. And that's a terrible thing, is it not? And so, to those who acclaim Christ, Romans 10:11, what the scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall be saved. And believe on the Lord God, and don't be ashamed. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Before that first sinner ever bowed, before God has already made a way for him or her to be saved. That would apply to anyone here in this morning. If you bow down before God and confess your sin and repent of it, be sorry for it, and be willing to say, Lord, save me. Come into my heart and my life.
Amen.
Here's the last point. The last point at 7 o'clock is, hold on, stop, I have to go down. It says that the last one is, before there was a hell, that was heaven. Before there was a hell, there was a heaven. And Ephesians 1:4, we talked about that a moment ago. We have chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him. Matthew 25:34 says, and then shall the king. You see Matthew 24, that's the tribulation period where God in the Revelation, God takes 22 chapters and out of the Revelation takes place. But Jesus takes Matthew 24, Matthew 25 to explain all of that. And so here he is saying in Matthew 25:34, it says that the king, you see, God, Jesus is going to be a prophet, he's going to be a priest, he's going to be a king. All right, he said he will be a king when he comes back. He'll be the king. But what does he say? Then the king shall say, under his right hand. Now, we oftentimes think about the goats and the sheep, but really God's going to judge the nation. And those nations that have gone against God, that's when, beloved, they're going to be put in torment too. So the judgment of the nation. Think about what the world is taking place today. Think about what the world, what people want to do to those Jews. Think about the Jews from the day they disobeyed God, all these hundreds of years, down through the years, they have all had to fight persecution. They have been killed left and right, and because of that. But bless God, one of these days, Jews are going to come and grow. They're going to come back. God's going to put his hand upon them. Yeah. Now, in Israel today, it's just as bad in some places as it is in America. They have their homosexual problems. They have their drinking problems like anybody else does. But bless God, one of these days, the true Jews of God, God's going to call them to him, and he's going to save them. And then he's going to turn around and make them that 144,000 people. That I think that's the true Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen. That's going to be all over the world. Amen. And when the end comes, Lord, that's going to be something to take away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Thank you. I like that. And the Bible here says God in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, and the children try to kill the man. Now what's the purpose of hell? What's the purpose of hell? It's for judgment. It's for judgment. I think God, the Bible talks about hell's going to be enlarged. And I think as the world keeps going, all these billions of people that have died, that God has to be thinking about, increasing the battle. I'm not thinking about these volcanoes that go up. Just to think about a volcano. And think about that molten lava that comes up and it flows down. Can you imagine that flowing upon you? Just think about this for a moment. That hot lava that's coming down like water, and it burns up everything in its sight. It's pitiful what's going on the West Coast. How those people are fighting fires left and right. And beloved, I don't think that's enough to compare to that of hell. In hell, every man over the sky, being in torment, he wanted just a tip of water to touch that of his heart. Well, hell is real, but heaven is real as well. Heaven is present for redeemed people. That's the same people. I love John 14, 1 through 3. I love that kid, I love you, dude. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Amen.
If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Yes. So that you can be with me. So that's the promise of God. And where Jesus at now? Jesus at the right hand of God. And where are you at now? You're in Jesus. Where Jesus at? He's at the right hand of God. Amen? Amen. So this is something to be proud of. And so for righteous people, not because of your righteousness, but you see, your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. It's the righteousness of God that makes it possible for you to be born into the family of God. And heaven is for reconciled people that's been drawn, people that's been forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Again, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Aren't you think about this point? Your sins, when you become saved, your sins, your past sins, are put as far as the east from the west. Now, if I take off going east here this morning, and if I could go like one of those satellites or things that they have up there, if I start in that direction, you know where I'm going to come back? I'm going to come back to the same direction. To me, it's an undetermined amount. And then Jesus told those people, how many times do you forgive somebody? Not 7 times, but 70 times. That's 490 sometimes. Can you imagine? I don't doubt some Baptists will tell it. I'll do it when we go to 490. Baptist people that keep grudges and hold things against somebody again and again and again. Or it's the love of God in your life. You've got to have love. You've got to have forgiveness. Because the Bible says if you don't have forgiveness, if you don't forgive others, how can I forgive you? Well, I hope this morning that we've seen something in these scriptures. There's something, beloved, in Genesis 0:0, something that took place before there was a foundation of the world. Now, all of this is going to be out, and the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it's written, I have not seen, nor ear has heard, have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. Now, if you're a faith person this morning, you're going to join our You say if you're a heir, you may have to share with others. But if you're a joint heir, it's all yours. And so we're in Christ. What he had is yours, is mine. This morning, there may be some order this morning you can say, the Lord is mine. You might have it up here, but have to put it down here. So this morning, as we come to this invitation, would you bow your head, please? Would you bow your head for a moment? Let me ask you a question this morning. What's your relationship to the Lord God right this moment? What is your relationship? Is it what it should be? Are you where you ought to be? Do you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body? Is it true? Is it true? Are there some things in your life that you need to improve? Let me ask you a question to the church. Are you saved or just a member? Are you saved or just a member? Now, if you have never confessed Christ, that you're a sinner, that needs a Savior, repentance must come first. You've got to repent. You've got to be sorry for the life you live. You've got to put trust in the Lord. And if you don't do this, then you cannot turn to God. Well, Christian, in your life, that you may be ashamed of. The Bible says, would you be ashamed of the coming of the Lord? I know that a lot of us would have to make some changes if we knew the Lord was coming in the next 24 hours. We wouldn't want to be. We wouldn't have things in our heart and mind if we knew the Lord was coming in the next 24 hours. If you're here and you let it up for us, why let it lay somewhere else for time and for time? Why not? Preacher Bud, Preacher Ken, I want to join this church. Accept you by letter, statement, or upon your profession of faith. You respond.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this, dear God. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some material we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, business on website, boomscreekbaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour.